5.
And Joe at RTE.ie. To go back to Micheál Cunningham for a sec, and Micheál, you got a glimpse, not that you need it, but you got a glimpse of the long-term effect, tragically, that the murder of Liz's sister Noreen had on her family. How have yourself and your wife not just coped, but how have you, now I know you had Jamie and you rare Jamie, and that's 24/7, and you've obviously done a magnificent job. Your daughter would be so, so proud of her parents and Jamie's grandparents. But how did you yourself and your wife cope?
Oh, I don't know at times, Joe.
Yeah.
Just listening to everybody else's stories there, it's all horrendous. The whole lot is unbelievable what not just our families come through, but all the other families who have dealt with this homicide or whatever. There's so many different kinds of stories out there. We've known each other so long and we're with each other so long as well. We've talked to each other. We're just there for each other, and we're both members of the group SAVE as well, and that's the Sentences on Victim Equality group. And there's lots of the members live locally to us who have all experienced the same. They've all gone through the same. They've all lost loved ones. Yeah. They've all lost loved ones in horrendous. They talk to each other. We're actually planning to get this 7-year parole board moved to 12-year. 12 years is an act going through the Dáil at the minute. We're busy and we're there for each other. And as you said, Jamie, and we both work full time. You know yourself, when you go into work, you try and leave everything behind you, and your comrades at work, get you through the day, and then you're travelling or you're on the train or
Micheál, can I add, it's a point raised so powerfully by Melissa that her mother, when she was raped by Anthony Cassidy, she was left firstly with the horror of the violence of the rape, but also the life-changing injuries because of the violence he inflicted on her with his punches, brain damage. But Melissa said she has never been approached by the state, any agency of the state, to say her mother hasn't been approached to say, how are you doing? Have you, given that they knew that the murderer of your daughter was going to be released in a couple of weeks' time, did anyone come to you and say, listen, we're not saying this would influence or will change our decision, but how are you getting on? How is your wife getting on? How is her son, who was in the house when your daughter was murdered, how is he getting on? And I know they would say, and that's not the way it should be, but I know they would say, you cannot have a veto over what we do with this man, Gordon Taylor, when he's in prison. But we would just love to hear you. We would like to hear your opinion about your factual situation about how you're getting on, and your opinion about what might happen in the future. Were you ever consulted on that?
Well, the quick answer to that is no, not really. At the time of Ciara's funeral, we had some our local councillors came to the house, and we had one or two TDs, local TDs that came to the house. But I thought, the murder of a young Irish woman, 22 years of age, in the sanctuary of our own home, I thought someone official would have come to us at some stage, not just over the last 7 years, but when it actually happened. You see the president attending people's funerals or whatever. Ciara was an Irish citizen too, and I thought there would have been some kind of response or some kind of contact from the government at some point, some officials say how he is getting on or whatever. Yeah. We actually had to organise our own counselling ourselves.
I hear that.
Nobody came near us about Jamie. We had to make the contact. It's a ridiculous situation. We had to do that. Ever since, nobody's contacted us about anything. As I say, we have been trying to contact through the IPS. We actually sent emails after Gordon Malloy was released the first time, last year, we sent emails to lots of TDs, local councillors, whatever. We got lots and lots of support, but the people we needed the support from who are in government did not even contact us. We got the statutory email back from Charlie Flanagan's office. We cannot comment on individual cases.
And that they've told us that the same today. Yeah.
I actually went on to Charlie Flanagan's Facebook page and left messages for him. Now, I know Charlie Flanagan probably does not operate his own Facebook page.
Yeah.
But when someone who has lost their daughter, when someone's parents are emailing you and faxing you, or sorry, messaging you on your Facebook page to please get in touch, and you don't have the decency to do it, no matter who's operating your face page, those messages should have been sent on. These people need to talk to you. These people need to explain how they're feeling. These people need help. And we need Charlie Flanagan to change this decision, and not just for us, but for all the people. And this the seven parole board, this has to be addressed.
So. And Micheál, at any stage did they say to you, when he was released the first time, did the prison service say to you, now, Micheál, we're not releasing him for him, we're releasing him for his family? Was there any extenuating circumstances that...
Oh, no, no, it was a family day out, Joe. That's the way it was put, because of his good behaviour.
It wasn't that his mother was unwell and couldn't visit.
No,
God forbid. And
no,
any of his family were unwell. Okay, so they didn't say... Listen,
no, it was for a family meeting... Right, obviously to get him used to.
So this was for my point is this was for him.
Oh, it was for him.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Let me bring in 51551. Say there, Micheál, Helen Grandin, and as it happens, Helen, you say you knew Noreen, who was Michael Kelly's partner, who was murdered by her son. Go ahead, Helen.
With her from 1982 until she left to go to Australia. I was a student, and she was qualified, and she was great fun. And she was extremely kind,
And what did she work at, Helen?
She was a psychiatric nurse.
Psychiatric.
Roman Hospital in Paris.
In Dublin.
But she was extremely kind to patients, and she was extremely knowledgeable, about everything. Not only did she know the abnormal or anything like that, she knew the normal. She would have to explain everything to the students. And she was a great person, She was so young. She was great fun. She had a motorbike and she used to dress in all the trendy gear, and of course we were all jealous of her, but she was a lovely, lovely girl.
And as Michael pointed out, it was Noreen who stood up in court, and I didn't know that psychiatric skills she had and education training beforehand. But she stood up in court and begged the court to actually keep her son in custody because of his psychiatric problems.
She had great insight into people, and we could see it even as younger students, she had a great way with people. She could recognise, she could spot things in other people. She had great intuition, and we could even see that in her, and she was only a young girl herself.
Okay. And I also see you have, but it's a small country, and you say I also live in the town where Melissa's mother was attacked.
Yes, a horrific circumstances for that poor girl. Just horrific, Dreadful case altogether. And she's dead right. Some people should never be let out of prison. They need to be controlled or whatever, because you don't know what's around the corner. And, it seems to be all too common now that people get attacked for no reason, unprovoked. When your life changes and you can't function, that's a whole loss again, for Melissa and her family.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
thanks for that.
Regards to Noreen's sister. Often think of her. Bye-bye now.
You're very kind. That's Helen Grandin. Melissa, somebody's after texting there that Cassidy, the man who brutally inflicted those life-changing injuries on your mother, that he had something like 34 previous convictions.
Yeah. But even as Micheál said there, when they're putting in the stuff for the probation, the appeal, he's allowed to read them. When I helped Mammy, I basically done Mammy's victim impact statement with her. Mm-hmm. And he was allowed to read certain parts that we had put in, and we had to take them out and rewrite our victim impact statement. He even had control over that. We couldn't even say how we really felt. He controlled everything.
In what way, Melissa? Sorry, you need
to... We had to take out stuff that was put into our victim impact statement.
Like what? Do you remember? If it's not too distressing for you to...
Trying to think.
Yeah. Okay, so Melissa, stay there because I've one break to take and more people want to contribute. We're talking to Micheál Cunningham, whose daughter Ciara was murdered, and Michael Kelly, whose partner Noreen was killed, and Melissa, whose mother was savagely attacked and left with life-changing injuries. And we'll be back and after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
RT.ie. Anita, like so many people, you're listening, and a lot of people, I think, are stilled and by the stories that are being heard, and too by the fact that the authorities don't seem to hear them and release people and for family visits or whatever without any contact with the family of the victim in terms of having an input into it. Anita, your point, please.
Well, good afternoon, Joe. And yes, I would like to extend my deepest sympathies to all the families who've been affected in this way. It is harrowing to hear. My thought was that prior to an early release for someone who's committed a crime of this nature, there needs to be a very detailed process in place to check out their ability to access remorse. Mm-hmm. This could only be done by highly trained psychologists or psychotherapists. Because it's one thing to say, I'm sorry, and then another thing to really mean it. And this would really have to be delved into. It could involve a willingness on the behalf of the person who's committed the crime to reach out in some way or to the family in writing or verbally. However, I can fully understand where families would want this. But if there was a meaningful
that's a fine phrase. If there was a meaningful and even long-term connection with the family where...
No, but even if there was an intent, because I can understand the families may not want...
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
But there would need to be some sort of a mediation process and that would have to be quite solid before any early release would be granted, I would have thought. That was just my thought on the matter.
Micheál, I'll go back to Micheál again. Micheál, in your case, I half suspect that the parole board are saying, well, we know the families are going to object, so what's the point? Would you have welcomed engagement at least? Would that have helped in any way? Would engagement with if the authorities have kept up twice a year, kept in touch with you, how's Jamie doing, how are you doing, would that have made a difference, Micheál?
Well, it wouldn't make a difference to the fact that Ciara was murdered.
Of course.
The pain and the grief we go through on a daily basis. It would be nice to think that someone in the authorities cared about the victims' families.
Yeah.
And that we got our equal share of the pie.
You know, like, and you feel no sense of that whatsoever?
No, I think, as I said earlier, I think Charlie Flanagan would be better spending his money coming and visiting the victims' families rather than sending guards down to Port Darlington to give people like Gordon Malloy a day out. You know, he's very welcome here to come and feel our and talk about our pain and our grief from what we've gone through any time. He's very welcome to come to my show and, you know, spend some of that money and come and visit the victims' families. That's what I feel of.
Well, maybe today people will listen. And the four people who've had either murder inflicted on their close relatives are indeed, I'm thinking of Liz, about Noreen, her sister that was murdered, Micheál about your daughter Ciara, Michael about his partner Noreen, and Melissa, whose mother was suffered life-changing injuries. I think anybody listening to the total reflective nature, the way you've spoken, the four of you with others, but the four of you primarily for the last 75 minutes. And maybe if the minister or other people listen to that, it might not change their mind, but it would definitely add to their understanding of the horror that's been inflicted, one, on the victims, obviously, by their deaths, and two, on the extended families. Micheál, kind regards to you and your family and Jamie and your wife. And again, condolences on the death of your beautiful daughter, Ciara, your only child. Michael Kelly, condolences to you on the death of your partner, Noreen. Liz is gone, but again, Liz, condolences to you and your family on the death of your sister, Noreen. Melissa, I only hope that you can keep your health and your strength to look after your mother so lovingly, and that she, I think from what you say in the conversation you had, she appreciates greatly that she's still in the loving embrace of our family. Melissa, thanks indeed. Michael, thanks indeed. And Micheál Cunningham, thanks indeed. And Liz as well. 51551 continues. joe@rt.ie is always there. The BCO's Maeve Mooney, Mark McGrath and Sound, researches by Richie Byrne. Angus McAnally produced. Hugh Ormond is the series producer. And Ray Darcy is next.
1850-715-815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.